Okay, guys, that was Thundercloud by Audiovision, who we actually have here in studio. Guys, tell us your names, what you play, and a little bit about yourself, what you do for your profession when you're not playing music.
My name is Michael Copeland. I play guitar and vocals, and in the spare time, I sit around the house and watch TV and do nothing.
Hello, my name's Doug Cosby. I play guitar and pretty much in my spare time sometimes, I guess, play only guitar.
Yeah, I'm Brett King. I'm the drummer. In my regular job, I'm a finance professor at the University of North Alabama.
I'm James Durham. I play bass. I can't figure out how we're all 34 or 5 years plus in age, and every time we get together, we start giggling like we're 14-year-old girls. But
it happens to everybody.
There's probably going to be a lot of that here in the next little bit.
All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming in. Here's something. I think I've asked you. If you don't know, I actually have a video interview with these guys on our YouTube channel, and it's linked on our, I think we have it uploaded on our Facebook page, and it's linked to our website as well, shoalsareamusic.com. But where did you come up with the name?
I think we're going to have to go with Doug on that one. Doug names all of our songs. I think Doug came up with a name.
Well, that's not exactly accurate, but that's at the same time, you have to have a name.
Yeah.
So we kick around a little different names and stuff, and it just so happens that that was what we settled on at the time.
When it kind of stuck, and he's like, that sounds good, we'll go with it.
If we didn't have T-shirts already printed up, I kind of wish we'd change it, because nobody can spell it, but, we didn't have problems with it.
The folks that don't know how to spell it for them so they can find you when they get on social media.
It's, AUDIOVYSION.
There's a Y in vision.
We're not Auto Verizon. We're not Auto Vision.
Right.
Audio Vision.
If you spell Audio Vision with the I, you're going to get this Swedish band, which is not a bad band. It's just not us. So.
Although the lead singer does look a lot like Doug.
He's got my hair.
Yeah. So we know what
they have the same hairstyle.
We know what you do in your off time.
Got the Rob Halford thing going on there with the hair.
Guys, y'all signed anywhere? Are y'all independent or what?
We're signed to Nagua Records. Forwards, Nagua, backwards, all gone.
It's an independent label.
It's owned by Doug Cosby.
A dependent label.
It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Doug Cosby.
So you kind of...
out of Chiska, Alabama.
And the kiln.
So you're signed to yourself or...
Yeah,
or just independent.
Yeah, we're independent.
We're straight from the kiln.
What,
represent.
What's it like to be independent?
It's lonely. and it doesn't pay well. Kids, find a side profession.
Well, we may be different from a lot of other bands that come in here because we're all, we all have career paths and we all have children. And this is, at its core, is a hobby for us. We go out on weeknights and practice maybe once a week, and then we go do shows and we act like we're 17 years old and we do our best to entertain people. But, we all have, I guess, what you call adult lives. You wouldn't know it when you see us on stage because we act like we have no responsibilities or aspirations.
Well, you have fun. You have fun with it, which is what the music's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be an outlet to have fun and... release your creativity and artisticness and just go with it.
James is also the 2007 beard champion of Northwest Alabama.
James is sitting over here, and it looks like something out of Duck Dynasty.
Full-grown man beard.
He has his own line of beard products. They're all natural, made from berries and juices.
You need to hook me up. I envy the beard. okay, guys. So today you brought us by a copy of your new EP, Goodbye Blue. Tell us a little bit about it.
We started writing these songs probably a year or a year and a half ago and just worked on them until we could get them pretty polished up. Is actually a relative of James on the cover. You also get a picture of a goat, but it's a man riding a goat. It's pretty self-explanatory.
It's called part one. Can we expect a part two in the future? Or?
If we don't break up or die first.
Michael, go ahead and finish the story about the goat.
this is I good. Did, Brett.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to know the rest of the story, buy part two.
There you go. If you want to know the rest of the story, we'll have, when part two comes out, we'll try to get the guys back in studio to explain the rest of the goat story.
We're thinking about making the next one part three and never doing part two. And then that way in like 40 years when we're this rediscovered band, there's going to be all this, you know, people looking for part two. But it's
there's a lost record, and right, then you'll have somebody out.
You got to play it backwards and all this stuff, yeah.
Then you have somebody come out and say, well, where's part two? And then you'll have someone that prints a CD and says, well, we have the only copy of part two.
Bootlegged.
And bootlegged. And then you come in and you're like,
undiscovered tracks from Audiovisual.
We never recorded a part two.
And they're all in Scandinavian.
they spent a year, moved to a different country, and rolled with it.
Right.
Okay. Well, we're going to actually cut out here and take a break for a little bit. Next up, we're going to play the song Moment off of the EP. Tell us a little bit about it. Who wrote the song? What's it about?
I wrote that one. It's you know, it's just a collection of thoughts, really, and experiences that I had. You know, and I think at its core, all of our songs are personal to the person who wrote it. But the song is probably about 4 years old. I first showed it to James before we were ever in Audiovisual. He's really the reason why we brought it forward, because I wouldn't have showed it to anyone because I didn't think it was that good. But you know, sometimes it takes that extra set of ears to, you know, hear the special in something. So.
Give you the push to put it out. Okay, guys, well, that's Audiovisual here in studio. We'll be back with the guys here in a little bit more. But until then, enjoy the song Moment. We'll be right back. Okay, guys, we're back in studio with Audio Vision. Guys, I got some more questions for you. You said most of you, the music's a hobby for you, so you actually have careers, or as you called it, in a quote-unquote adult job. How do you cope with obstacles with your music, especially like if you have a scheduling issue when you book a show and then something happens and you have to work over or something like that? How do you deal with the obstacles and balance your obligations with like family and all that?
Well, especially... I think playing in this area where it's so competitive, there's so many awesome bands who are willing to go into venues and play, and there's a limited number of venues that you can play in. You know, you call a lot of these folks, and they're usually booked up for at least a month. So you got to talk to these four guys who all have kids who have school programs, and between the four of us, we have to decide if there's going to be a Saturday free in 5 weeks. And that is difficult. You know, all of us have made sacrifices, and our families probably occasionally have missed out on something just because we had already booked a show. It's kind of one of those deals where we all say, you know, that our home time comes first, but sometimes it's just unavoidable. Even as far as practice goes, that's something a lot of people don't think about with a band, is that bands have to practice in order to play the songs. And in a band like this, where we're so eclectic with the songs that we may choose to play as far as our originals and our covers, you know, if you're in a blues band, you're playing 1-4-5 blues songs predominantly. You don't have to practice nearly as much as if you're going to play a Stevie Wonder song and then play a Rush song maybe and then play Guns N' Roses and then you play three originals, and it's a lot more taxing as far as being prepared to play. When you
having your timing set up and knowing how you're going to progress into the next thing. And
well, you know, yeah, it's like James says, and James does most of our booking and getting us gigs, and does a really good job of that. But it is difficult with families and other commitments. And like I say, you know, most of us, we have full-time jobs and commitments there. And we consider ourselves professionals in terms of, when we play our music. But we're a little bit different than true professional musicians in that, you know, we can't dedicate all of our time, you know, to practice and put together a bunch of originals and record and have someone produce us. And so, you know, we're a little bit different than a lot of the other groups that are out there.
Okay, guys. Yeah, I mean, I understand where that comes from. I know how hard it is to do scheduling conflicts, especially with this. It's rough sometimes, but back to the music. In this area, when we're young, music surrounds us. I mean, we got the Fame Story and all that, the Swampers, Muscle Shoals Sound, things like that. What type of music did you listen to as a child?
I was a big fan of CCR when I was really young. And I think, you know, growing up here, you have that soul feel to everything that you do, just because it's there. I mean, it's present in everything that you hear and you experience. But you know, as I got older, I started to graduate into more, you know, rock, heavier rock, Guns N' Roses and Nirvana and things like that. And that's the thing about everybody here, is they have such different influences. I'll pass it on to Doug now. I know Doug's got much different taste than I do, but that forms the sound, you know, of who we are too. Because if it was one genre or one style of music, then it wouldn't be as diverse as we are.
Well, I'd say the Beatles is probably my biggest influence, and the fact that they were they could write many different things within their careers, different genres on an album, on a single album, you know, and able to express themselves through many different rhythms and things like that. And really, that's what rock music is all about. That's what I like about it, and I think that we kind of incorporate that with us. I think that we're able to not just limit ourselves to one distinct sound. And we kind of melt it together, and somehow you get your own sound.
That's the way it works. You take the different musical influences, combine them, and you kind of...
Neil Young fan, too.
Yeah.
But, and you might hear a little Neil Young in Runs Yesterday. You know, it has a little bit of influence on it, but several different bands and things. I think that's a good thing to have, you know. You don't limit yourself or keep yourself locked into certain box. You know, you can't say, well, I'm a country singer. I'm a country band. You're a country band then.
Yeah.
You know? We're a heavy metal band, but you know, that's all you are if that's what you say you are.
You say I'm a band and I tend to stick to rock, but you never know where it's gonna go.
But if you just rock, you know, you got all the different ingredients
you know, that you can do.
What about you, Brett?
Well, you know, Doug and I are kind of a little bit older than Michael and James, and so we go back a little bit. You know, he talked about the Beatles, and obviously, you know, they were revolutionary in terms of what they did and their music. As a drummer, you know, I started listening to Boston, you know, and some Chicago and stuff that was a little more technical. And then all through high school, I guess all I listened to and really played behind the drum kit was Rush, because, you know, I consider Neil Peart to be one of the penultimate drummers that's ever been. And lately, you know, 10, 15 years ago, Dream Theater, that kind of music, the technical side of it. So I come at things from more of a, you know, I like rock and roll, but I also like to be, you know, work on technically proficiency behind the drum kit. And so that's kind of where my influences came from.
Brett, Brett left out Captain and Tennille. He's a huge Captain and Tennille fan.
What you touching his beard for?
Yeah, don't touch my beard, man. Yeah. And ABBA. Brett really, really likes ABBA.
James, I love your beard.
Have some beard love
anyway,
going.
No, you know, you're talking about when you're a kid and then on up. You know, I used to go to a lot of things with my grandparents, and there was a lot of bluegrass and stuff like that there, and you know, a lot of traditional Irish music, fiddles and banjos and all that kind of stuff. And then I moved on up when I was in probably third grade. Appetite for Destruction came out, and I didn't even understand most of the subject matter on that album. You know, I didn't know what Mr. Brownstone was and things like that, but I knew that I really, really was digging what was going on there. Used to listen to a lot of my dad's albums. Dark Side of the Moon's a huge album as far as, you know, things that have influenced me, things that I've listened to. And then, you know, just sort of eyeball stuff like Commander Cody and Jerry Jeff Walker, exactly. You know, and then all your staples like Stevie Ray Vaughan and stuff like that. But really, mostly just a lot of blues rock kind of stuff, you know, like... you know, some of the newer stuff like Black Keys is something I'm really into, and even Guns N' Roses. If you really listen to the way a Guns N' Roses song is structured, they're a blues rock band, you know, with more of a glam edge going on there. But you know, going back to what we were talking about before, you've got one guy that's heavily influenced by 90s alternative and things like Pantera, and then you got a guy that's really into the Beatles and Neil Young, and you got a guy that likes Dream Theater and Rush, and you got a guy that likes everything from Jerry Jeff Walker to Phil Collins and
to Irish folk songs,
exactly. And then you get the four of us together, and Doug has come in with this song, and when Doug brings it in, he may have a Neil Young song in his head as far as how the song needs to sound, and we get the basic chord structure from Doug, and Brett does something on drums, and then I go home and sit around for about 4 days not really knowing what the hell I'm going to do with it, you know, and try to come up with something to make it sound the way it does. I think you just played Ruins of Yesterday. Is that what we just played? Or
We played Moment. We've got Ruins of Yesterday coming up.
Ruins of Yesterday's coming up. If it would almost be worth it, but it would be too embarrassing. We've got a recording of Ruins of Yesterday we did like in December of 2011, and it's just a totally different song, and it goes for about 3.5 minutes, and we get to the bridge, and it just comes all to pieces, and Doug's the only person left playing, and Brett's...
He's the only one who knows how the song went.
Yeah, Doug's the only one that knew how the song went. But that goes back to the time factor and everything else. You got all four of us are going to approach a song from a different angle, and that even causes, you know, in a civil way to butt heads sometimes, but... Eventually, we work it up to a point that we have a product that everybody can be happy with.
That's the best thing about it, is that everybody puts a stamp on it. And like he said, you know, I may have the song song idea, but it's good that everybody is able to put their stamp on it. Because that's a group right there.
Yeah, make your own baby with all the different influences and the different people creating their own version of it.
And nobody's big-headed saying, hey, well, this is how I want it to go.
Yeah.
I'm willing to listen to, you know, everybody and everybody.
The group effort makes a better product.
And, you know, I think, you know, 2 years ago when we started this, we didn't know what we were and we didn't know what we were going to be. A little bit of that, you know, creative, you know, differences is what caused us to grow and become what we are now. And I think, you know, we're probably going to just keep growing the longer we're together. And I hope that's a long time. So
yeah, we hope so as well. We really enjoy some of the stuff y'all got out, guys.
Thanks.
We're really looking forward to seeing some more original stuff coming out of y'all. We had a conversation earlier before we started the show about bootlegging. What's your stance on free downloads and file sharing? And you think there's a way that it could be harnessed and improved to help the artist? Or,
well, you know, I mean, that's something that's been around for ages. I mean, the internet has made it bigger and it's made it more readily available, but, you know, people have been trading tapes and, I mean, Metallica would never became as big as they are had it not been for bootlegs and people trading tapes. And, you know, then you get them turn around and they're suing Napster for basically what made them famous, you know. And I don't see bootlegging ever becoming something that, you know, is going to be a problem that's going to be solved by, okay, you can download this for, you know, 99 cents or, you know, the artist gets X amount. I mean, there's going to be people stealing music regardless, and you're not going to be able to stop them. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can solve a problem that seems to have no end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Michael, he makes a good point. I mean, there's going to be a way around everything. Once something's recorded and put out there, you know, it's going to be readily available to anybody that wants it, pay or not pay. You know, it's just the way things are. You know, if you look at it from an intellectual property kind of copyright, you know, then you kind of get offended by the fact that you can create this and you can work and you can produce this product and yet people can get it for free and you really receive no benefit from it. But you know, and that in itself, I think, has really kind of changed the entire music industry and the ability for a lot of new and younger bands that have good things going to ultimately make good money by producing something original.
I'm going to say this, and I'll hand it off to James, but the fact that anybody, you know, would steal your music at least means that they like it, you know. So
you're like, as long as they like me,
yeah,
I'm here.
As long as it's getting out there and people are listening to it, I mean, whether, you know, we're making money off of it or somebody else is making money off of it or nobody's making money off of it, then at least people care enough to go out and find it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing.
Well, as of late, we're getting to where we're seeing bands come out, like, say, with your EP, you say, if you would have done like some bands are now, come out and say, okay, this is such and such track, like, say, the first track on the EP is Thundercloud. Say, we're going to release Thundercloud for free. You get a free download of it. If you like it, buy our album and get the rest of our stuff. Some of them will come out and say, like, say, the drop date's December 1st. They'll come in and say November 25th, 26th. They'll come in and say, okay, we'll give you a free down, we'll give so many free downloads of our album to the first, say if it's a bigger band, 500 people get it free. After that, it's pay. Or we'll give you a free download of our album for the next 5 days until it drops, and then it goes to pay. Some of them, like I said, will give you a track for free to kind of whet your appetite to try to get you to download it. I mean, there's different things that people are approaching this as now, but nobody has really found a way to utilize it. To try to, because you got people from different ends of the spectrums. Like you said, some people like Metallica, they got made because of people sharing tapes and things like that, which would be our modern day file sharing. And then you've got people that are like, with the intellectual property, I created this. I want to make a profit off of it because I took my time and my money and my effort to do this.
Metallica's on both
ends of the spectrum. They were file share, now we want money for our intellectual property. But I mean, nobody's really found a way to kind of meet in the middle where both ends are happy with it. And somewhere somebody is going to have a brainstorm that clicks in and they're going to be like, this is how we do it. But as of yet, no one's figured out how to do it. And that's just kind of, I like to hear people's opinions on what they think of it and what they think might could be improved to utilize it. I mean, like us on our website, we have it where you can listen to a song You can't download it. You can listen to it. And we've got a thing on there saying, if you like this, go to, since we are local, we said like Pegasus or Rivertown or somewhere that sells the CDs locally. Go see the bands at the shows and buy it from them. That way you whet your taste for it. If you want, you say, hey, I found this cool band. Check this out. You could play it for your friends, but you can't physically give it to your friends where they can burn it on a CD and have it with them. They physically have to purchase it if they want to have it on like their iPod or their cell phone or a CD, or some people, even if they still use tapes. I mean, I know I actually still have a tape recorder, and I still every now and then listen to the radio to find that one song I want, even though I could pay 99 cents to download it.
Fame won't accept demo cassettes anymore, by the way. So
things are
21st century.
Things are going 21st century digitalized. It has to be MP3, which I mean, that's like when we ask for people to send us something, email us something. We ask for MP3s, but simply because it's email, because we don't really have a physical address, because it's just a bunch of people that have gotten together. I kind of brainchild it, and it's just a bunch of people that got together to try to help the local music scene, and it's more of a, I guess you'd say, a social media movement than anything, but we always ask for MP3s, and I mean, we go to the shows and try to buy as many albums as we can, and if somebody's not doing a local show, but they have an album, we're like, hey, we'll buy it and have it sent to somebody's house, and we'll put it on our computer or whatever, and then put one or two songs on the site from there, and then like this is a great way to get the music out as well, get to meet with bands and get to know them and hear their music and hear what they think about their music. It's just trying to figure out a way to use all this this technology improvements. I mean, you got MP3s, MP4s, like DVDs have gone to Blu-rays now. Before too long, I see it like VHS, DVDs will be phased out for Blu-ray, and then at that point, it's all about improvement. And I mean, it's about selling product, yes. And like MP3s are good, but you get a CD, sometimes the MP3s, yeah, it's okay, but you get a mastered CD, it's like, oh, that sounds so much better. And I mean, I like the physical, but I mean, like with the necessity of us being a web thing, I have to have them send it as an MP3. So I mean, it's just kind of one of those you win, you lose things, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Technology is a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, technology is allowing people to download songs without paying for them. I used to record them off the radio. So, you know, you sit there for 4 hours waiting on the guy.
One song.
And then the dude talks.
Yeah, you're like, okay, say like if it was your song on the radio, up next we have Thundercloud from Audio Vision. And then they start the song and he's like, this is yada, yada, yada. You're like, be quiet, I want the music.
Right. But, you know,
they said Cherry Pie with Casey Kasem on it.
people have been making music for 50,000 years, you know, hollowing out bird bones and making whistles out of them and things like that. And as far as how to make a profit, it's a good thing that I don't have to figure out how to make a profit playing music, because I especially at this point in my life, there's no way, you know, that I would pick up and walk off. And you know, there's a lot of people in this area who do, you know, they have that kingdom dream that they're gonna be on late night, and some of them have made it,
like Alabama Shakes and people like that. It just so happened we had the conversation with Planet Ink the other day about bands and that, and then we even get it on the local scene. I mean, you look at that. You have bands like Alabama Shakes. You can call them local. Technically, they're not. They're like an hour from Athens, an hour and a half away, in between here and Huntsville. But you get into that, you have bands that have come through. And now that people are recognizing our bands, it's making us kind of a tourist destination, if you will. You get bigger bands from out of town, or I say bigger bands that are on the rise from out of town, instead of it going Huntsville as a connector, it's Muscle Shoals, Florence as a connector, and then you get locals, this local scene coming into play, which it's an incredible amount of local artists here.
That's the thing too. You, like I said, you have people coming in from out of town, which makes it harder to get gigs for us, you know. I mean, there's so many bands in this area, and you put on top of that bands coming from Huntsville and Birmingham and you know, places like that, is there's just so much music, and the amount of venues that are here, you know, the market's just flooded. Like I said, it does make it harder to book places when they have so many options, you know. There's just so many options of different bands to play.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Michael. I mean, if if you guys are not familiar with the Muscle Shoals area, look into it just a little bit, and you'll realize before too long, this area is saturated with absolutely brilliant music talent all over the place. I was fortunate enough, not too long ago, I was actually speaking with Alicia Keys, and she had stopped by to record at Fame. And she mentioned the movie, the documentary about Muscle Shoals, and she was talking about, I can't believe, you know, how much talent is in that area. If you're a recording artist, if you're a singer and you need a band to come help you record, you know, within a couple of hours, you can have top-notch musicians playing there. And so, you know, these guys are in groups, and a lot of these groups are, like Michael said, they're full-time and they're chasing this dream. And you know, they can dedicate all of their time to practice and performing. They don't have to worry about if they're available to play gigs. And so, you know, this is just a really, really unique area. And so, you know, for artists like us with regular jobs and families, it's more of a hobby. And even then, it's kind of frustrating to try to get into some places and play our music.
So that's another thing with this is I know we have a lot of local bands that have big followings. And, yes, we want them on here as well. And yes, we will have a lot of them because we have a lot of connections with them. But it's guys like you that I really like. That's kind of like our mission was like we're on both ends of the spectrum. We want to help the guys who are next steps, like Alabama Shake's big. And then we want to help the guys that are just starting out and the guys in the middle like you who are just music hobbyists more than anything, but you enjoy playing music and that's your escape, if you will. And it's hard to get shows with it being just a hobby band because you're not out there as much and people don't hear your name as much. And that's what this is kind of all about, is to help get names out. And it's more just a way to get together and say, hey, check out this band, check out this band. And then maybe somewhere down the line you'll have a band that's going to need somebody to play with them at a show. And they'll say, oh, well, I heard such and such on the podcast from Shoals Area Music. They've got pretty good music. Or they've got great music, however they word it, however they interpret the music. And they say, well, call them and see if they call them, email them, Facebook them, whatever, see if they want to come in and play with us and kind of help y'all get more gigs and dates and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. And anybody who's applying themselves to whatever, I hope they're successful. There's a lot of great bands in this area. But really, I like to entertain people, whether that be through music or whatever. I like to see people happy because of something that I'm doing.
I hear you were looking at Ben. You kind of had the Slash image going on. One of you had the Slash image going on. I kind of saw on Facebook.
That would
you,
be Michael.
Michael, I saw where you put on Facebook about the Slash leather pants. Yeah. Talking about being entertainers, had the Slash look because most people associate Slash when they think guitar. And he's one of the quote-unquote like Jimi Hendrix guitar gods, whatever. Most people associate that, and the image would be the entertainment, and part of the entertainment. I saw where you put on your Facebook about somebody, they were selling a pair of Slashes. It was a pair of pants. I don't remember what kind. A pair of his leather pants with the side zips. And it's like, so who wants to buy this for me?
Right. May not be able to fit in them.
he is a tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing. We have our original songs, and we play our original songs. But if we're in a bar full of people who are not digging our original songs, we're not above playing Wagon Wheel if that's what's going to entertain them. I'm being serious. I like our version of Wagon Wheel. I mean, I like to see people happy, personally. I can't speak for everybody else because it's pretty obvious we're four different individuals. But I enjoy entertaining people.
I also say this. We haven't turned down a gig yet. So if anybody wants to book us, we'd probably say yes. We try to, like you said, entertain the people and at least, you know, for a few hours they can come to the show and not worry about, you know, work or, you know, my house is going up for sale or, you know, I'm going to lose my dog or whatever it is.
Your doll?
Dog.
Oh.
Dog. We had band practice and Brett's
hearing still
drummer.
Hasn't recovered from being
always messing with the drummers in their ears. Yeah.
Well, you know, you know the last thing a drummer says before they kick him out of the band.
Yeah.
What's that?
Hey guys, I wrote a new song.
Actually, as a drummer, I appreciate and understand that. That's actually accurate.
Very accurate.
Brett's tone deaf, and he's also dyslexic. He's also colorblind, but you know.
Don't worry, I'm not actually dyslexic, but I call myself mildly dyslexic. I'll catch myself spelling things backward, and I start reading, and next thing I know, I've misplaced words, or I'm trying to I think of one thing in my head and say something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, if all of us dyslexics, you know, we need to untie.
Yeah.
Sorry, wow. That's unite.
A little dyslexia joke there for those who don't understand and don't get that.
I mean, you know, we need to clarify. I'm not saying that, you know, we're not making fun of anybody.
No, this is all in good Brett, fun. It's nothing.
Brett, yeah.
Actually, the drummer,
Brett's the drummer, and we got to pick on him because
Brett's making fun of him. Let this be said. Brett is making fun of himself. Right.
Quite frankly, Brett's scared of cats and dark rooms and squirrels. He also has a phobia of butter.
You've also got to picture, as we've said in one of our first podcasts, the studio that we use is located at Arx Mortis, and we do have the bands come in and come back here, and sometimes the lights are on, sometimes they're just dimly lit. So for the ones that have never been in, they run into props, and then we have a couple of black cats that hang around, yeah. And one of them popped out and got Brett pretty good.
Guys, this place is freaky. If you just want to go somewhere and be really afraid, this is the place to go.
As far as the baby squirrel comment goes, Tristan was in studio earlier, and he had found a baby squirrel and has nursed it back to health. And Brett actually held the baby squirrel. And there's a photo that, as I understand, is now on Instagram of him holding the baby squirrel. So if that's something you want to see, you go out there and look it up.
Brett did offer $800 for the squirrel, but was rejected.
I wanted to buy the squirrel. I've got two little girls, and they love squirrels.
He also has a My Little Pony collection.
Hey, this is James. Seriously, if anybody wants a baby squirrel for $800, I will hook you up with a baby squirrel.
It's a plug. I need money. I will do whatever it takes. Not whatever it takes, let's clarify. Because things can take a weird turn there.
You know, Brett might hook you up.
And it takes the turn.
That's what you said.
That's usually where we end up after 2 or 3 minutes into a conversation.
Well,
it starts out with fart jokes, and then we move on to Brett.
Voracious laughter. Okay. Then Brett eats a wheel of cheese.
we were talking, back. Let's get serious here for a minute. We were talking about the local scene and the venues and stuff. Another thing that up until recently that we're having trouble with was attendance at some of these shows. Because, I mean, you have big shows. I think we had a conversation about Rock the South being a $50 ticket to see 10 bands on one day, and it's like $50 a day. Then you have 4 bands for $5 right in your backyard, and people don't go. I mean, now attendance is slowly starting to pick up with the documentary out and with people like us, and then Six Degree Shoals and there's several Facebook pages, and I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They do great things as well, trying to promote music. This is not about having a monopoly on the Muscle Shoals scene. This is strictly us getting our people together and trying to help the artists the best we can with utilizing all of our resources. But as far as the shows go, do you think there's a way to kind of increase the attendance at the local shows?
Well, I think this to me, for just a very little bit of time that I've been playing music live, it sort of goes back to technology. You know, back in the 80s, you couldn't go on YouTube and watch the band that's going to be at a bar before you go see them and see if you want to go see them or not. You had to go to the bar and check out the band. You know, and you couldn't sit at home and watch Netflix and watch thousands, whatever their slogan is, thousands of TV shows and thousands of movies.
For like $8 a month.
Yeah, for you can just binge watch. You can sit there and watch Malcolm in the Middle for 17 hours if you want to. And I think that's one of the things that's really being faced by live, especially local music, where you have a band like us, we don't have a name. I mean, we got 565 people who like us on Facebook, and
knows that to the dead number.
And maybe nine of them are people who have really came and seen us at a show and really liked us. And I'm not saying that I don't appreciate the other people, but, you know, especially guys our age, all of my friends, for the most part, have kids. And they can't go out on Saturday night and spend $40 and stay out until 1 o'clock in the morning and pay a babysitter. And,
are they in prison?
I only have...
Wait, he has to get out the fingers to count.
Let me take off my shoes.
Take it off the shoes.
But I mean, seriously, technology, especially the ease that I can be entertained without ever leaving my house, is one of the things that makes it very difficult to have live music and get people to show up.
Well, and the economy too. I mean, the economy's tanking. You know. there's less money to be spent.
Talking about Netflix and things like that, making it hard. I know how that is. I mean, I could easily go rent a movie. I try to support local businesses. I'm actually located in Colbert County, and we have a actual video store. A lot of people's like, what is a video store? Because you have Redbox now.
Yeah.
But and yes, Redbox is a great thing if I'm working in town. And
where is that video store?
The video store that I go to is called R&R Video, located in Forge City. Not a very far drive from me.
I know where that's at.
But it's not really that bad. I mean, Redbox is, what, $1.12 a night for a movie? And they're $2 a night for a new release. And, I mean, to me, it saves me the gas from driving to town. I can pick it up and go back and sit home. And like, especially like me, to go to a show in town, it's a 30-minute drive minimum just to get into town. So, I mean, it's just as easy to go to the video store, pick up a video, go back home, lay on the couch, watch a movie, and not go to a show. But me, myself, being in music, I know what it's like to have a show and then nobody shows up. And especially, I like to do a lot of benefits and things like that. I like to help people out. That's just me. But with that, knowing how that is, I like to go support the local music scene as much as I can. And this was another way for me to do that, kind of help get people's names out. It's just, I guess it's a way. We've got to find a way to kind of give people an incentive to come out and listen to the music that's here locally and not do the whole go to the video store or the Redbox thing and go back home or sit there with your internet connection and play on Facebook and watch videos and television shows on Netflix or surf YouTube channels or Vines. But, I mean, this has got to be, we got to figure out a way to get people involved with these shows. I know
people, too, have forgotten about the experience of going out and hearing live music. You know, I mean, like James said, you can sit on YouTube and watch all the music that you want, but you don't get the experience of being there.
The
being
stage,
part of the show.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. You may have a YouTube video, but then, say, some band has, it's one of their people that recorded it. The stage antics that are crazy and wild that you only see at the show gets cut out of the video, so you never get to see that. You don't get to sit after the show's over. Like us, I mean, you had like Grace and Tony come down and play, and they were featured on a mainstream TV show as the thing to watch type stuff. And like the Civil Wars, when they started out, they were in the Zodiac. They were playing intimate shows, this theater that only held 150 folks. After the show's over with, you sit down there and you can go sit there and shake hands with them, talk to them. Now you look at them, they're huge. I mean, yeah, you got John Paul that still walks the streets down here just going out and enjoying himself, and with it being as big of a musical community as, you don't really have as many people that's, can I get an autograph? You have people that's
if you see me in Walmart, you can definitely come up to me and shake my hand. I mean, I'm not going to...
If you spend time outside this area, like I was doing some driving across South Carolina, you know, over the last few years, had a daughter that was living out there, and you go to any town there and you look for live music and...
It's hard to find.
They don't really have it. Maybe one time a year on 4th of July, they might have something at the park, you know, but here, I think people take for granted, you can just go anywhere.
And at any given night, you have dozens of shows going in the Quad Cities areas. You
all
got,
types.
Yeah, you got your rock, you've got, I mean, there's even some of the hip-hop crowd. I mean, you've got your country, your folk, your Americana, you got just about any genre you can think of. There's probably a show going somewhere that will fit that taste. Or be similar to it, and it's just more of a get out and see what's there. I mean, we're going to try to keep on our Facebook page now that we have Randall involved as well. We actually talked about him a little bit during our Planet Inc. Interview, but now we have him involved. He's going to help us keep up with our shows. We're shorthanded, and we're going to try to post and say, okay, these bands are having these shows. here's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday schedule, and if somebody's doing something during the middle of the week and we hear about it, we'll put it up on the page. I mean, just try to help people here that realize that, hey, there are shows here. Hey, there are a lot of shows here, and there's something for everybody, and they just have to find something that they like and go with it. But anyway, we're going to take a break here for a minute and get back to the music. And I think, as we said earlier, we have The Ruins of Yesterday up next. So sit back, relax, and enjoy The Ruins of Yesterday.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that was Ruins of Yesterday. Back in studio here with Audio Vision. Guys, is there anyone you want to thank for helping you out in your musical career?
Thank our families for putting up with all the bull that I know that they go through, because, you know, it's a hassle for them probably more than it is us, because we're just having fun and acting like little teenage kids. So, you know, I'd like to thank you. I mean, you really helped us out a lot to try to get our name out there, and we really appreciate that.
And not a problem. Any way I can help.
I'd like to thank my family for putting up with my hobby.
You don't want to thank anybody else's family.
No, not anybody else's family. But yeah, my family, I like to thank these guys, because, you know, like we said earlier, we're you know, we have a lot of other things going on, our jobs and our family and other hobbies and our kids' hobbies. That's the thing, when we try to get a show together, we don't just have four schedules to compare. We have about 26 schedules to compare by the time you put everything in the mix. I'd really, you know, this may even kind of sound like a cliche around here, but I'd like to thank Max Russell. When I first started playing music, Max was having some blues jams and things like that, and for me, being somebody who didn't always know what was going on, he showed a tremendous amount of patience in allowing me to participate. And not all musicians are like that either. You know, you got this guy who comes in who doesn't know any of the songs, he doesn't know any of the standards, and a lot of people don't have a lot of patience for that. But Max is a top-notch guy, and he really allowed me to do a lot of things that I wouldn't have gotten to do otherwise, and might have just given up and found something easier to do. So that's my list, I guess, off the top of my head anyway.
Well, I agree with the other two as far as family goes and support and all that kind of stuff. I guess it's I'm thankful for those one or two people that come up and say, you know, good job or whatever, or I like that song, or I like your band or whatever. I mean, it means a whole lot. And if it's just one or two, that's fine if you can reach one or two.
Yeah, I'd like to thank a group of guys I was fortunate enough to, you know, get to play around with. You might have heard of this. They're a group that they're called Aerosmith. They're kind of an older group, but I got to tour around with them for a couple of years and learn an awful lot. So I'd like to, you know, I'd like to thank them for that experience.
And everyone cracks up laughing.
Yeah, that's Aerosmith from Boaz, Alabama. It's spelled Aerosmith. Aerosmith.
Again, that was Brett King.
Aerosmith, yeah.
Aerosmith. Everyone's going to be thinking, now they're definitely going to check you out. He was the drummer for Aerosmith, man.
All of a sudden, Aerosmith gets a heck of a lot more likes.
Exactly. Yeah, well... I don't think you would get sued for helping another band by saying you played with them. How can folks that listen to this podcast get in touch with you? You got social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, whatever it may be.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I think we have about 7 followers.
And I'm not even one of them.
Yeah, and Brett doesn't know how to get on Twitter. You can find us on Reverb Nation as well.
Reverb, we got a lot of original songs on there. We're working on getting a little, not professional, but we're working on getting our own little studio set up so we can even put maybe a few covers on there, show you our range. We got some videos on there, just to show you. Some of the videos are from back when we first started playing together, and we're standing in Brett's attic, and then you go up to now where we're wearing eyeliner, and we're kind of trying to do a glam thing a little bit, just because that's sort of where we come from, you know.
The glam rockers.
Not even really the end thing to do right now, but that's, you know, we're doing it for our own enjoyment.
Yeah,
that's
stay true to yourself and enjoy.
It's part of the fantasy, you know. And if you message us on Facebook, we will message you back. Unlike, you know, I know sometimes it's hard to get a response out of some folks, but you know, if we see the message, we will send you a message back.
Unlike the Foo Fighters.
We keep trying to message the Foo Fighters and get on a tour with them or something. They just they send us nasty hate mail back, and
we only got like 7,452,000 likes, and we'll be past the Foo Fighters. So just keep that in mind. That's all we need.
Like it up.
Past the Foo Fighters.
Like
yeah.
it up.
That's like right. it up. Then you sent him an email.
That was a Kiss song.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell the folks listening today?
Just check us out. Come out to the shows. You know, you'll have a good time. It's a party, and that's all we want. We just want to have a good time and play music and entertain people. So just, you know, go like us on Facebook and check us out. Brett says he thanks the nation of millions who follow him. Thanks to Shows Area Music. We really appreciate you guys.
We appreciate it. We want to say a big thank you to y'all for coming out. I mean, it's without bands like you taking faith in us to try to help get the word out, I mean, we wouldn't even be where we are now. And that's our whole mission, is try to get the word out about everybody. Okay there, folks. There you have it. That was Audio Vision. You look for them on Facebook. Be sure to spell it right. It is spelled AUDIOVYSION.
Well done.
Again, AUDIOVYSION.
Kind of sounds like old McDonald.
Audio Vision. AUDIOVYSION. EIEIO.
Dag nabbit.
I lost again. Okay, guys. Well, to close us out, we have the song Blind Eye. Anything you want to say about this song before we end out the podcast?
It's self-explanatory.
It's a self-explanatory song. Alrighty, guys. Well, here you have Blind Eye from Audio Vision.